you want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding. But it warns us that wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Be challenged to live wisely as you hear once again from your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, beginning a series today on the Psalms. You know, the Bible is a very fascinating book full of different kinds of literature. It has history, poetry, wisdom, prophecy, gospels, letters, and that strange book that's in a class by itself, Revelation. In the Old Testament, as most of you know, the Bible is divided into two main sections. There's an Old Testament, which is the account of a nation, the nation of Israel. And of course, it begins with the creation of the world and the animals and the creatures and the moon and the stars and the sun and people. And then the New Testament is the account of a man, of Jesus Christ. We don't find the name Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. We find various hints about him who was to come. And then there's a section right in the middle called Psalms. If you're not very familiar with the Bible, then the easy way to find the Psalms is just to sort of crack it open in the middle, and you'll probably be pretty close to the Psalms. Now, what are Psalms, spelled P-S-A-L-M-S? They're hymns, poems, prayers, heart cries, and you can probably think of some other classifications. They are hard to classify. But above all, we can say that the Book of Psalms comprehends and teaches the emotions of the soul. It opens with Psalm 1, which I'm sure is very familiar to most of you. And I will read it from the King James Version, which will please many of my listeners who are very uncomfortable when I use anything other than the King James. And this is a psalm that probably many, many of you know by heart. I can remember hearing this read in school, public school. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You may know that psalm by heart, but maybe you haven't been able to understand exactly what it's talking about. And so I want to read a more modern translation, which will be helpful to some of you who are not really familiar with King James English, which is from the 1600s. This is the same psalm now, but it sounds pretty different, doesn't it? God blesses those people who refuse evil advice and won't follow sinners or join in sneering at God. Instead, the law of the Lord makes them happy, and they think about it day and night. They are like trees growing beside a stream. Trees that produce fruit in season and always have leaves. Those people succeed in everything they do. That isn't true of those who are evil, because they are like straw blown by the wind. Sinners won't have an excuse on the day of judgment, and they won't have a place with the people of God. The Lord protects everyone who follows him, but the wicked follow a road that leads to ruin. Now that's very plain, it seems to me, plainer than blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. God blesses those people who refuse evil advice. We can all understand that. So those of you who are not comfortable with anything but the King James, just bear with me. The Psalms show us how we are to respond to ordinary troubles. That's the wonderful thing. You can find what we are supposed to do, the law of the Lord in the Old Testament, and many, many very clear, straightforward, and unequivocal instructions in the New Testament. But we often want to ask, but Lord, how am I supposed to do that? To me, it's a wonderful thing that the Lord preserved these very human heart cries and emotions. And some of them are really howls, because the psalmist is in the pits of despair. And the Lord preserved these for us so that we would see what a human reaction can be to the commandments of God. It's an indication of God's compassion and understanding of us helpless, sinful people. So the Psalms show us how we are to respond to ordinary troubles and what the specific challenge is and what to do about it. There are two kinds of people in Psalm 1. You've got the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly and the man who does. And there's a difference between them. In many other books of the Bible, we find words which forbid sinfulness. But in the Psalms, we learn how to avoid it. Let's look at Psalm 3. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. A more modern translation says, I have a lot of enemies, Lord. Many fight against me and say, God won't rescue you. But you are my shield, and you give me victory and great honor. I pray to you, and you answer from your sacred hill. I sleep and wake up refreshed, because you, Lord, protect me. 10,000 enemies attack from every side, but I am not afraid. Come and save me, Lord God. Break my enemies' jaws and shatter their teeth, because you protect and bless your people. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly, says the King James. Thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. 10,000 enemies attack me, but I'm not afraid. So we are blessed. The people of God are blessed, which means happy. That word really does mean happy. I know we use it in a more specialized sense sometimes, but the blessed are the happy people. Then Psalm 5 starts right out begging God to listen. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. We would say today, listen, Lord, as I pray. Pay attention when I groan. Verse 2 in the King James, hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. The more modern one, you are my King and my God. Answer my cry for help, because I pray to you. In Psalm 3, we find a man who was asking God to guide him because he was surrounded by so many enemies. He was asking God to get rid of them in verse 10. That's a pretty blunt way to put it, isn't it? Get rid of them, Lord. And then in Psalm 6, this is the cry of a man who is feeling very weak, needing healing. His soul is sore vexed, he says. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. A modern translation, don't punish me, Lord, or even correct me when you are angry. Have pity on me and heal my feeble body. My bones tremble with fear, and I am in deep distress. How long will it be? So when you're feeling weak, needing healing, if you're in deep distress, with a sore soul, wishing that somebody could rescue you, read the Psalms. Verse 6 of Psalm 6 in the King James says, I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. That's a bit difficult to figure out in modern English, isn't it? But how about this one? My groaning has worn me out. At night, my bed and pillow are soaked with tears. We would hardly say, all the night make I my bed to swim. And one reason that I want to explain to you why different translations mean so much to me, and I have a whole shelf of different translations of the Bible, is because I myself was a Bible translator. And those who say that we should use only the King James Version baffle me, because I would want to say, what about the Quechua Indians of the eastern jungle of Ecuador? They didn't speak English. What am I supposed to teach them? The original Greek? Well, they wouldn't understand that any better than they would understand English. So what was I supposed to do but translate to the best of my ability into their language from English and Greek? Now, of course, I don't speak Hebrew, so I had to go to the authorities for some of the words in the Old Testament. But I did the best that I could. Would you say that they are wrong in not using the King James, or that they are missing out? Well, possibly they're missing out on some things, but there are thousands of translators all over the world, and we do the best we can to give the Word of God faithfully for the sake of those who do not have it in their language.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.